Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you much. All right. Well, I love this text. And Kathy, I think that's kind of neat that this happened to be the first text you've read, right? Pretty good text. And you all could, I'm sure can and probably will, add to the sermon today. Because this text speaks to just about everybody here. Because if you're born in this world, as they say, all God's people got problems, right? Got troubles, right? So anybody here not having any troubles? Okay. You know, it's always interesting. You know, I always think about planning for a vacation. I've always had these great expectations of a perfect vacation. And I remember moving to Arizona with little kids, and having this expectation that now that we've moved to Arizona from the Midwest, that all these places I want to see in California, I hadn't seen mountains or the ocean till I was about 22 years old. I mean, I was in the middle of the country, so it was all new to me. And I got to turn my mic on. Oh, it is on. Okay. Is it okay?
Is it on? All right.
I got a new little thing like Tug and Grow here, you know. it's like I've got something here I want to chew on. I don't know. I'm trying to get used to it. This mic. Anyway, what was I saying? Oh, vacation. Plans for a perfect vacation. And did things go perfectly? One time. One vacation it did, but other times, no. Car problems, money problems, traffic, right? Oh, huh? Health? Right, yeah, health problems. My favorite ride at Disneyland being closed for the day, the one day I go. Space Mountain, come on, man. Anyway, all the different things that can possibly go wrong in life. And sometimes we have our expectations so high of what it should be like in vacation. And a perfect vacation should be this, that actually causes stress to us, you know. So anyway, I'm trying to learn. But in our text for today, we're talking, the theme is down but not out. And it's another great text in 2 Corinthians. And I just want to start right off with the first verse there of verse 7. But we have this treasure, and Paul talked last week in 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 6, that the light of the glory of God is in us, in the light of Jesus is shining in us. It used to be that God's presence, the Shekinah glory, was in the Holy of Holies, but now He's in all of us. So where we go, the glory goes, right? Where we go, God goes. So you don't have to have a priest be your go-between anymore. You don't have to go to a specific place anymore because God dwells not just over you or around you, but inside you, inside all of us, right? And what a great comfort that is that no matter where you go and whether you feel all alone or not, you can draw upon the power and the light and the glory of God inside us. That is not religion. Religion gives rules and regulations and doctrines and teachings of man and puts it all in our head. This is a matter of the heart. It's like the spark, the shot to the heart that we sing about is inside us. You put the light in me, right? Now Paul is continuing saying, now let's just get this clear. It's not about me, Paul's saying. The first line in Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life, I believe it says, number one, your life is not about you. our world needs to learn that lesson. They still haven't gotten point one of that book yet. Our life is not about us. It's about Jesus, right? And using our life to His honor and His glory in amazing ways, like Pastor Robin will talk about a little bit. Holy cow. It's amazing what God's doing in CR and women's ministry here. It just blows my mind because it's God and not us. But Paul is trying to affirm his ministry when he had all these wiseacres and critics saying he shouldn't be the pastor, shouldn't be the apostle. And he's putting the credit to God. He's saying, now this isn't about me, folks. He says, we have this treasure we just talked about in jars of clay. There's even a Christian group named Jars of Clay. This is where they got it from. To show that the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We're crackpots. We're clay pots. In the days of the Bible, they would have these clay pots, and actually they would be purposely cracked so they could put a light inside and it would shine out. I just read that this past week. I didn't realize that. So there was a purpose to that crack in the pot, is to let the light shine. We remember the song we sing in VBS and Sunday school, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." Hide it under a bushel? No! I'm going to let it shine. So we don't want to let the devil or the world, our own stinking flesh, sinful flesh, keep us from letting our light shine or from the things that happen to us, because we're cracked pots and the glory comes from God. So it's a reminder, it's not from us, we're not all that. God, He's all that. So we're all broken in many ways, in many places, right? And we're cracked. And we do have broken places, but God uses our brokenness and turns it into our ministry. The things that we struggle with are the way things that we can relate with others. If we're transparent and let God shine through us. And a lot of you are really with me today. I see a lot of nods out there. That's great. That is super. Wow. That's very cool. So you know what I'm talking about. 2 weeks ago, Touchstone hosted an awesome trauma conference for kids. The conference was for therapists, but how to help kids deal with trauma. And some of the stories are horrendous of what kids and youth go through. And I was the greeter and the runner. And it was at Thunderbird School of Management on 59th and Greenway. And many of the sessions were a long way away, so my job was to walk people from one place to the other. And boy, did I get a lot of walking done. It was something else. But I had all these conversations with probation officers and counselors and therapists and just some wonderful people I got a chance to meet. It was just really an awesome opportunity to get out of the office and just kind of have a break from that and meet a lot of neat people from all over the state, really, that came to this conference. But the keynote speaker, his name is Kevin Hines, and he's been on TV a few times, on 2020, I think. And here's the story. Kevin was in the foster system, was a foster child, and had a horrible bio family, and had a foster family that was actually very good, but they didn't know how to deal with mental health problems and behavioral health problems, and he had a lot of issues, and he was getting suicidal, and he was hearing voices and a lot of stuff, and the parents, the foster family, didn't know really what to do with him. And they lived in San Francisco, and this kid, he was a kid at the time, a young adult, and he was just getting more and more depressed. He felt like he didn't fit in. He felt like he didn't think like other people think, and didn't talk like they talk, and act like they act. There was something different about him. They stood out. They didn't like it. And he had this cloud of depression kind of go with him. You ever feel that way sometimes, that where you go, this cloud's going? Well, just remember, the light is inside us, and the light can dispel the darkness. And yes, we have times of darkness, but we're the cracked pots to let the glory shine. Anyway, it got so bad that Kevin was in San Francisco, and he'd heard about people using the Golden Gate Bridge, not so much as a tourist or transportation to get one place to the other or visit it as an architectural wonder, but to end his life. And so he's walking on that bridge, and he noticed that people weren't looking at him. They had no clue what he was about to do. He was going to jump off the bridge. And so he's walking, and he thought, well, maybe somebody will show some hope to me. Just a glimmer. Someone just looks me in the eye and smiles. Maybe that'll stop me. Nobody did. Nobody. So he got to the edge, the rail, and it's not very high, and they're working. He's trying to get them to raise the, you would think of all places, you'd have a higher, I think it's like 4 feet, the bar there, or the fence of the rail, rather, the rail. He looked over, and he goes, I guess this is it. And so he starts climbing up, and he's ready to jump. And he'd been planning this day for a long time. And the instant he leaped, he realized that Satan had deceived him, that he didn't want to die. And so he's going down 240 feet down below, realizing, God help me, I don't want to do this. And so he hits that water like concrete and smashed. I mean, his spinal column was a mess. But God was there, because guess what was underneath the water? A big, fat sea lion. God put that sea lion and says, hey, sea lion, over here. Right now, wait, okay, right. He landed on the sea lion. Amazing, yeah. As this was happening, another instance, a lady was driving by on her cell phone, and she saw this guy jump off, called her husband, said, "You got to help right now." You think, well, why? How can the husband help? He works for the Coast Guard. He's down below in a boat. So he calls her husband. He just happens to be right in the area, just coincidental, and rushes to the sea. And Kevin was a mess. I mean, he was in terrible agony, and they didn't know if he was going to make it. And they pulled him out of the water, and he had some great medical help, and he survived. One of 1 or 2% of the people that jump off the bridge that survive. And what was interesting is that this was at a conference, not Christian, not faith-based, so he was not allowed to say anything about God, but he sneaked it in. Because obviously, it had to be God, right? And people were weeping and crying. All these professionals with their master's degrees, they're weeping. They weren't ready for this. They had their notebooks and their syllabus and their PowerPoint. This wasn't on a PowerPoint. This wasn't about intellectual knowledge. This was reaching the heart of what people, the pain they're going through. And so, he was just like, what am I going to do with my life? What am I going to do? So he survived all of it. And now, I was going to say another point, is that at this conference where he's not allowed to talk about God, he says, I know that most of you are going to say, this is a statistical anomaly. He says, that's what I'm called. I'm called a statistical anomaly. This is against all the statistics. And I shouldn't be here. He says, I beg to differ with all of you, and I apologize. I don't mean to proselytize, but I call it a miracle. And he's been on TV, and he wrote a book, Cracked, Not Broken. And he was with us the whole weekend. Just a second, John. He was with us the whole weekend and talked to our management people and my boss and all this and had dinner. And they noticed that in the middle of the dinner, all of a sudden he got real quiet. And he still suffers from depression. He has to have a certain diet and has to get his rest, and he didn't get his rest that weekend. So it's not all easy. And he's got a metal rod in his back. He's in constant pain, but he has a purpose to live. What he went through now becomes his reason to get up in the morning to help other people and foster kids and foster parents. And he goes all over the world. And it was very difficult for us to get him. He's in such high demand everywhere. I mean, everywhere. He's going all over, and in great pain. And the story to this is that he went back to the Coast Guard office to thank them. And he thought they'd be glad to see me. He wanted to offer us thanks. They said, we don't want to see you again. I said, we don't want to see you again. He says, the trauma we go through, picking these bodies out of the water, pulling them out, we can't take it. We had such post-traumatic stress going through this, that it just brings back the memories. We appreciate you, appreciate us. Thank you much. But please, don't be a knucklehead anymore. So, his book, Crack Not Broken, fits right in with this text. Yeah, John, you had your hand up. What? I don't know. That's fine. He's got a lot of blubber. I mean, he's got a lot of fat, so no problem. He bounced. It's like a big trampoline or a big... brinka, bouncy. So God brought a bouncy right there in the ocean. So thanks be to God, right? So I wanted to tell that story because you can go through the lesson, you can dissect it, you can divide it. But here was a true story, and I had a chance to meet him. And what a neat guy. And the light shines through him, even though he can't talk about Jesus over there. There were a few quiet amens when he gave his talk because it was more like a testimony than anything else. In front of all the therapists. So anyway, we all are like treasures, and we have the treasure of Jesus in a clay pot, and we're broken, we're frail, and we can be transparent. We can say, I don't have my act together. Paul didn't have his act together, and Kevin doesn't either, and sometimes he's treated like a celebrity. He doesn't like being treated like a celebrity because he doesn't want all that pressure to act a certain way, to be put on a pedestal. He says, don't put me on a pedestal. Put God up, is what he'll say to Christians. So, okay, let's go on. We are hard-pressed on every side. Ever happened to you? But not crushed. Perplexed. Like, what are we doing? God, what's going on? But not in despair. We're just give it up. We're down but not out, right? We all go through situations where we got things hitting us from every direction. You heard that about 10 days ago, my car was stolen in my apartment complex. I was like, what? Now, everybody brags about the Honda Civic. What I wasn't told is that, yeah, it's very reliable, one of the best cars you can get. It's also the one that's stolen the most. I didn't realize it was number two on the list. Great. So I get a reliable car, but I don't have it anymore. How reliable is that? So I'm thinking, now, what do I do? And boy, is I mad at the department people. They said, well, we've talked about having cameras out there. I go, well, get at it. So I'm getting my badge from work, my badge in jail. Thank you, Robin. I got to get new glasses. I got to get new headphones that Catherine gave me. I got to get those replaced and all the stuff, all the videos I had for the jail ministry. They got my Bible and my communion wafers. I hope they have a good communion service. And all the worship music, I hope they speak Spanish. Maybe God can use all that. And my Bible, maybe they can read it. They go, oh, who do we steal this from? Nate? A man of God, maybe? So you never know. So we all go through things, and it's a weird feeling. Taking my briefcase, 7 o'clock in the morning Friday, I'm going to my car. And I'm beating myself up verbally because I'm going, Perry, you parked somewhere else again. Don't you remember where you parked? And sometimes that'll happen. You know, spacey, like, oh, with all this heat and everything. I wish that were the case. I go, where's my car? That's a weird feeling. You stand there in the parking lot with your briefcase going, what do I do now? But the police were great. Insurance has been good so far, although my adjuster's in Oklahoma City. I got a fax and everything. But anyway, so far, so good. So we all go through things, right? You go through things. Daryl talked about his refrigerator and his air conditioning broke this week. So that's probably why he's not here, unless he's coming through the door right now. So anyway, we all go through things. All God's children got problems, right? But it's how we handle them. How do we handle failure? How do we handle difficulty and defeat? Cookie, you don't give up anymore, right? Amen. Yeah, and Cookie's got a story, too, where she came... See, I shouldn't complain. Absolutely. I got a rental car, and I can have it for 30 days, so... Absolutely. In fact, I used it to do a little off-roading last weekend, so I had a little fun with it. So you got to turn things around and find the positive in whatever situation we have. In everything, give thanks, the Bible talks about, right? So, anyway, he says we're crushed. I mean, we're not crushed. We're not just... We're. Let me start over. Hard pressed. Praise team, you ought to remember the song... We sing it all the time, Pity My Sorrows. It's the bridge to that, yeah. So we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. We're never alone. Struck down, but not destroyed. We're not destroyed. We're down, but not out, right? We're not destroyed. It may look like it. It may certainly feel like it, right? Then God, what else? Well, come on. And Paul certainly had a lot to go through, right? And God warned him, he said, you're going to be a display of my grace, and you're going to suffer a lot. Because remember, Paul caused a lot of suffering for Christians, and now he's going to be the recipient of all that suffering to refine him into God's spokesman of love of all the people. This type A, hard-charging guy, to be one who writes a love chapter? You wouldn't think Paul, with his original personality, would be able to do that. And that's why we say, well, I'm just the way I am. Well, that's an excuse, because God can change Saul to Paul. He can certainly change us, right? I mean, we are wired a certain way, for sure. But God can change us on the inside. It's an inside job. Change me on the inside. Change me on the inside. Change me on the inside, Lord. We got to say it 3 times, you know, over and over. Please, Lord. Because we are our own worst enemy sometimes. And sometimes difficulty and failure and heartache and hardship and heat. Oh, this heat brings out the worst. I can't handle heat. God, why did you send me to Arizona? I get sick in the heat. I really do. I drink. Yes, I drink. Yes, I drink. Not water. I drink tea, and I do have vitamin water, and I have Gatorade, and I drink my water. I am hydrated, but still I get sick. So we all go through stuff, and yet God is with us. And he says this, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. You know, there's two extremes of the church. There's people that, say, life is hard. You just got to trust. You just got to believe in God's word, which is all true. But they don't believe God can do miracles anymore. He only did that in the days of the Bible. And so they discount, in fact, I contacted Caleb, and they prayed for my daughter last year, and told him how well she's doing. And she has setbacks, and she's going through some now, but overall she's doing much, much better. And they said, well, you know, you just got to be prepared how bad things can happen, and don't get too excited, you know. Okay, thank you for your faith there, you know. Yeah, really. I mean, come on. And I understand what they're trying to say, because there are setbacks, and it doesn't mean like everything's going to be great from here on out. I didn't say that to them. So that's one extreme. The other extreme is, oh, just pray and believe and God will heal every single person. Well, we pray for a lot of people, and some are healed. Some are given a supernatural blessing. We lay hands on them, when Sandy and Seal and I, there'll be a blessing. We'll feel the heat. We'll feel the power of God coming upon them to give them supernatural strength. And they may not be healed right then and there, but they keep pressing on for that healing and praying for it, contending for it for sure. We don't give up. But it doesn't always happen like that, like we want. Say, God, come on. It doesn't always work that way. So we got two extremes, and we need, once again, as we've talked a lot here, about balance in that, right? So we carry the death of Jesus in us. We're called to carry the cross. And not just, oh, it's all glory, glory. There is the cross. There is suffering. There is the death of Jesus, and we are participating in Jesus' suffering. However, to the other side, there is resurrection power, too. And there is a God that can heal, that has the power to supernaturally change everything like that. Or maybe take, so either we can have faith for total deliverance, or we can have faith that sustains us until we get that deliverance, whether here or in heaven, right? Both things. And Paul was very balanced in that, unlike many pastors today. One extreme and the other. Come on. It's a balance. So we carry the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in us. For we who are alive, still getting used to my other glasses here, are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that His life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Interesting, we talked yesterday in Bible study at Bubba Breakfast, a really good lesson on the man who was blind at birth and was given a sight by Jesus. And then the Pharisees ask him all these questions. How did this happen? How did this fellow do this? This fellow from, we don't know who he is. We follow Moses. We all have all the traditions. Who's this fellow? And we don't believe you. There's got to be different reasons. So they did this investigation on the man born blind. And it's interesting that in the Bible, Jesus does different things different ways. Sometimes he waits to see if there's faith in a person, and then he operates on that faith. Here, this guy didn't even know who Jesus was. Jesus restored his sight, and then Jesus asked him, do you believe in the Son of Man? He says, I don't know. Let me know who he is. He said, well, you're talking to him right now, he said. And then it says, after he was healed, he believed and worshipped Jesus. He fell down and worshipped him. Right then and there, he worshipped him. That's what happens, right? When we experience God, we want to worship. And I love when we worship, come together and worship. When we experience the presence of God, the light, the Shekinah glory, it shines in the crackpots we all are. Despite all the stuff we go through, we need each other in this one to encourage each other right now for whatever may happen a little bit later this week or even today. So we need each other to encourage and build up one another. Encourage. You can't do this on alone. When I'm alone, isolating too much, not good. Because I'm thinking, oh, well, what a car. Okay, do I reliable? Do I need a reliable car? But I can't afford this, and I want to keep getting car payments down. I want to get in debt. I love not getting car payments for years, and this and then, and then I hear different people yesterday, oh, don't get that car. Oh, no, Perry, go back there and get that. Well, what car? On the internet, hear this, reliability of that, and this one says this, and this one says that. God, you show me the car. And he hopefully will. Ay. So confusing. Yeah, I'll ask him. Hey, God, you mean by divine auto salesman and divine mechanic, show me the way and lead me. And I believe he will. And some of you have had that experience, right, Sandy? I'm That's... I can just see me in a scooter. Jeremy said the same because he has a motorcycle. There's no way you'll catch me on a motorcycle, even riding as a passenger. I won't go on his motorcycle. I won't. Mm-mm-mm. Every time I hear, I'm listening to sports radio, hear the traffic, I hear a motorcycle accident down East Valley. I go, God be with my son Jeremy. God be with Jeremy. Help, help. I do not want to get on a motorcycle. Oh, and a scooter? No, thank you. No. All right, thank you. All right, let's move on quickly. But anyway, it is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we, not just pastors, we also believe and therefore speak. It's time for the church to start speaking up. Time to speak up. We said to our little kids, you know, hey, speak up. Amen. Not just pastors, but you all have a testimony, right? Amen. Don't keep it quiet anymore. Do it respectfully and lovingly, but you have a story, all of you have a story of what God's done in your life, and there's people out there that are searching and looking and hoping and don't have hope and need to hear what God's done for you. And because we pastors, we're the paid salesmen. We're paid to this. People, yeah, yeah, pastor, wah, wah, wah. But you're the satisfied customer. When you talk, it's like, this is like the car. Okay, this is what my car has worked for me. Maybe other people haven't had a good experience. I haven't any problem. So they have that testimony about their car. We have a testimony about our Christ, about our Lord, what He's done for me. So there we go. Jesus, we are called to re-present Jesus. Because they can't see Him. They're not going to hear about Him unless there's a miracle like Paul had in Damascus. So you need to be God's commercial. But please don't be like these commercials that are on radio or TV. They're like some idiot. Somebody wrote these stupid commercials. They're so idiotic. I guess you got to lower the bar. I don't know what it is, but it's like, and they repeat things over and over. There's such a moron on the radio. I go, I would purposely not buy that product just because it's a stupid commercial. It's so annoying. I'll change the channel and go back to another station and come back to it later. It's that annoying to me. I hate it. So please don't be that kind of commercial for Jesus where people go, oh, I don't want to be part of Jesus. But we want to be a display of His grace and His glory of who Jesus is. All right, so with that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in His presence. So the God the Father raised Jesus is going to raise you too. So we have, our hope is not here. If things get bad and worse, our hope is up there, and I'm preaching to myself. All this is for your benefit so that the grace that is reaching more and more people, and that's happening here in Amazing Grace with Pastor Robin, it's reaching more and more ladies, right? And Jennifer, I just heard that what's going to happen to you, and we talked about things going on in your life, and Catherine, who would have believed Catherine was a year ago this weekend that we first met, we first came to this church, all the different things that are happening. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. And more people are receiving God's grace in CR and all the ministries here. And it's astounding. So thanks be to God, to Him. Give me the glory. Amen. Absolutely. I love this text. Boy, I could go on and on here. Therefore, whenever there's a therefore in the Bible, you need to ask what it's there for. Because it's a very important connecting word. What was said is important. And now here's the application. Therefore, we do not lose heart. What if you lose your heart? Not good. I've been there. Where you've seen me, ladies, from back in the, I would think when you lose your heart, oh man, it's not a good place to be at all. And talk about Humpty Dumpty, all the king's horses and all the king's men putting back together again. It's not a good place to be when you lose heart and lose hope. But Paul says, nope, we don't lose hope. We don't lose heart. Though inwardly we are wasting away, and I've been reminded as I get older, glasses and hearing and, oh gosh, on and on it goes, right? I'm not what I used to be. And this body's reminding me of that. How old am I? I think, oh, I can do that. When I was off-roading, I'm going to hike. Oh, man. Or even at the conference, walking back and forth, I used to walk, no problem. The next day, I can hardly get up that Saturday after 2 days of the conference. Like, the body's reminding me. Inwardly, Outwardly we're wasting away, but inwardly we're being renewed day by day. So our outward nature is being wasting away. Inwardly we're being renewed day by day. Right now you're being renewed. A little bit, a little more here, a little more, right? For our light and momentary troubles. Now this is Paul saying this, so he has a right to say that because he's gone through a lot, right? But comparison to heaven, you put the scales, what we're going through now compared to the glory in heaven, it's not even worth comparing, he says. This achieves for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all, not even comparison. And this is a great ender. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, what is unseen is eternal. It's not an alternate universe, alternate world out there, but there is another world, an unseen world that's more real than what we see, right? Angels and the risen Christ and the Holy Spirit and the glory of God and heaven and all that is more real than what we see, because all that we see is going to pass away. I had a great couple illustrations about this. Memorial Day, went to see Jeremy and Crystal, my son and daughter-in-law, and my grandson Ryden, who was going through the terrible twos. I forgot what that was like. Oh my goodness. Now! So I did it with it. That's how you really do it. Dad, don't do that. But anyway, Jeremy got this something. He's been talking. He's a big high-tech guy, totally unlike me. He was a Cub fan, by the way, Tim. I'm a Cardinal fan. It all started there, going opposite way. I should have known. But anyway, he got the virtual reality thing where you put it on your head and the games you can play, the three, whatever you call it. I don't even know what you call it. He said, Dad, come here, we're going to play this. I go, no, my brain is fried about the car being stolen. I don't want to think about something new. I'm getting a new phone, a new Windows 10. I'm getting a new car, and all this new stuff. I don't want to learn anything more new. I'm tired of it. New, everything new. So he said, Dad, put it on. Oh, my goodness. I see these mountains, and it's 360. And then he shows me these different galaxies. And I'm like, I'm out in space. And literally got sick in my stomach almost because I'm in a fighter jet going down, and you really feel like you're going down. And I guess my son was playing a game where he's wrestling on the floor because you hear some movement required. And his wife came and says, Jeremy, what are you doing, hon? What are you doing on the floor? Are you okay? It's so realistic. And I played a racing game. I'm like, oh, my goodness, this is cool. This is the car I want right here. Anyway, but it's not real. But your brain thinks it's so real. You would be convinced this is the real world and everything out here. And I have a concern about that. It's so real. I can see people escaping to that world all the time. And I hope my son doesn't do that, because it is so intense and so real, but it's not real. And the same with this text here, what is unseen and what is eternal is real, right? The other illustration was that I was in court, a trial, for 2 days and still have another day to go, and was in court Thursday and Friday in the heat and trying to find the traffic, and I'm rushing over there, and I forgot that there's a convention, this Comic-Con convention. Oh, my gosh, and everybody rushing downtown to go for appointments. We're in a hurry. They're not in any hurry. They're on vacation. Anyway, so I'm trying to get the parking place at home. No, I'm late for court. I can't be late for court. I get there. My phone's not off because I forgot. I'm rushing. The judge says, if you don't turn off your phone, I'm like, where are you, out of the court? Are they over? That'll look good at touchdown. I get kicked out of court. So anyway, I'm flustered. But anyway, as I got out of my car, here comes Luke Skywalker. He looked just like Mark Hamill, is it? I got a picture of him to show Jeremy because he's a big Star Wars guy. It's like, I think it must be his double, but he looks just like him. He's got the bags under his eyes and all that with age. He's about my age now. But anyway, then I go out, and I'm in the middle of a group going to the convention all dressed up. One guy looked like a bunch of dough that you need, you know, to make bread and hasn't risen yet. That was like his head. There's a bunch of dough. And with one eyeball and one ear. And all these people that are looking really weird with axes and all this stuff. And here, I'm in the middle of it. And they looked at me and they said, look at that guy. He dresses like my stepdad. Oh, gosh, what's with him dressed like that? And I felt like I was the weird one. I was the outsider. And this real world, they're all excited. They're going to the convention center. They're all in this other world. And I'm going to court. Well, in the same way, the world is in this costume party, this charade of life here. Oh, we're going to this, we're going to go there, and oh boy, and we're going through heavy stuff like a court, and we feel in serious stuff with faith and finding people and saving them from hell, and the rest of the world seems like they're onto this costume party, and they're just blindly going with everybody else the same way. And it was interesting, their talk about this convention. And it sounds great. It really does. But, the fact there's a, was there a sitcom with William Shatner with a bunch of Trekkies? And he's funny. He says, well, look, get a life, you people. You know, God, quit bugging me all the time. And it's fine. It was really neat. All the comic strips and comic books they talked about. I learned a lot just in that walk. And I go, oh, I have no idea. All these new comic characters, comic strip characters that never were around when I was there. The point is this. Life, eternal life is real. What Paul is saying, we fix our eyes not on all the stuff around us, right? But on who? On Jesus, right? Because what is seen is temporary, what is unseen is eternal. So we need to encourage each other because it's so hard to keep at it, keep the faith, and keep looking to the invisible Jesus, to keep looking to our real home. And this isn't really our home. We're all aliens. We may say, well, I got a driver's license and I got papers. I'm a citizen of the United States. Yeah, you are, but your real citizenship is in heaven, right? So we're all pilgrims. We're all aliens just passing through. And so we need to remember that in this great text. Come back to this text when you feel down, but remember you're not out. In Jesus' name, amen.